everybody. It's the Rogan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN.
Very special day today.
Yep.
WGN.
Yes, it is.
We're doing a good deed and can become a great deed if you help us, because we need donations for Toys for Tots today. We've got the Silverados from Apple Chevy up there. Ro, you're in the chic Santa outfit, the hipster Santa outfit.
Is this really hipster?
I think this is hipster actually... with your aviators and your cool hair and everything.
Yeah, well, I got to do that. I can't. They gave me the Santa. This is a funny thing, because we got this from Chicago Costume, right? Isn't that correct? Isn't that who donated these to us?
Yeah, we got a thumbs up.
Worked it out. Okay, they're awesome.
We
always use them for everything, and this is like the real Santa's outfit that I'm wearing.
Absolutely.
Same quality.
It totally is a great quality Santa suit.
Same thermal capabilities. But they sent me, and I don't know if this was a confusion. I think it's probably on our part.
Mm-hmm.
I got the Santa hair and beard, and it was Mrs. Claus.
Oh,
so,
oh,
and then, no. like,
oh,
the Mrs. Claus, like,
on.
Bun
Come
hair.
On. And, well. The little bun hair.
Come on. I would love to see that.
Yeah, no, I got it.
Well,
like
you
cute.
Could rock that look.
I think you need a pillow or something, though. You got to stuff, you got to look more jolly.
Yeah, you're too svelte. Yeah,
right before Christmas, Santa's fatter than that.
Well, I don't know what to do with, I don't know where to get.
Get a My Pillow.
We could, actually. That's funny. But, after the Matt Lauer thing, they took all the pillows out of the station.
Oh,
all right. I wanted to, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Too soon.
This is, by the way, I want to thank the Marines are here. The Marine Corps, United States Marine Corps Reserve.
They're in their dress blues. 224. Thank you for being here.
From Chicago, from Foster Avenue. They are here. We also have now, you got to see this. Come on down. Come on down to the corner of Michigan Avenue and Heaven, right here on Michigan Avenue, right by the river. It's the Tribune Tower, 435 North Michigan Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to see Violetta, who looks like she actually was, she looks like she was made in Santa's workshop.
Absolutely. She looks adorable in her elf costume. And then Kevin is also dressed in a similar elf costume. But I think Kevin reminds me a little bit more of who's that elf from the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? You know, the one that wants to be the dentist?
Or Buddy the Elf from the movie The Elf, where I'm completely outgrowing everything here. I've got a gut sticking out. This thing is like a little bit too tight in all the wrong spots. Violetta looks like she was born on the North Pole.
Very cute outfit, so guys.
But it's fun. And somebody brought a football as a toy, and
Should we throw it? We'll throw it back and forth while we're out there doing it.
Yeah, exactly. I was actually playing catch with some of the Chicago's finest, the Chicago police officers outside the studio. Me and we're throwing the pigskin around a little bit.
No big deal.
Yeah.
Exactly. You think you see a seat?
So you get a Marine. If you get a Marine on one side and a police officer on the other, and you have a crossing route.
Yeah,
right?
We could do that.
Yeah,
we could do that.
I
draw
like
some
that.
Patterns out. Yeah,
maybe we could get a couple of civilians to go up against them and see how we do.
Yeah,
why don't you recruit some guys out there? See what you can put together.
I like this. We'll do a little 4-on-4.
They say sporting equipment, by the way, really good gift, because that is that teen and preteen group that they don't get enough toys for. So it's good that you're bringing that up, because they say that is an awesome gift if you wanted to stop by and pick them up.
And the listeners responded, Ro, because I know you were soliciting for gifts for younger girls, and that's like 70% of the gifts. So that's a good sign.
But, that's awesome, because that is one of the things when we talk to the Marines who do Toys for Tots year after year after year, and we give money as well. You can give money, go to toysfortots.org and give money. Mm-hmm. And they give the money to Marine families to go off, on the weekends they go to, and they buy the stuff for Toys for Tots when they're buying their own stuff. It's really great stuff that they're doing.
And it's 97% goes right to the toys.
Right.
They use 3%. None of it goes to personnel or costs for the foundation. It's
3% is logistics to move it around.
Absolutely.
That's what it is.
When can you get that?
The other piece here that I think is really fascinating is that there's Violetta screaming in the background. Oh, he's screaming. The thing that I think is amazing, though, is they have like this whole sociological thing about the way people buy toys, right? And I think it's also because it's Marines. People think, well, I'll buy boy toys.
Mm-hmm.
And so they always do have a deficit when it comes to toys for young girls.
Oh, that's
right?
Good
for
to know.
Like that sort of 4 to 12-year-old. And then for boys that are 12 to 15.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always a little deficit there. So people have been, they're bringing sports equipment and stuff like that.
And Violetta and I get to drive the Chevys later on, right?
No.
Around Pioneer Court, right? And just to kind of show off all the presents.
Well, Alfie will be here a little bit later on.
Okay.
And he'll be Elfie, as we call him this time of year.
Will he be in an elf costume as well?
Yes, he's gonna. He comes in a gigantic elf costume. There's a guy that's in complete shape, by the way. He'll go wide for us.
All right, perfect.
We're taking him on our team.
Okay, perfect.
He gets up and he runs like 50 miles a day.
Okay.
And then he gets,
oh, my gosh.
And then he's home by 7 o'clock in the morning. And it's like, yep, I think I'm going to do some push-ups now. Okay. Like, I don't understand what that guy is.
We're having a good time out here, and we're definitely drawing attention in these elf costumes. So come on by. Drop off your toys.
Do it for the kids. Doing it for the kids.
Yep, no big deal.
Oh, God. All right, Violetta, why don't you do the WGN Traffic Trouble Spot since you're out there.
Flashback to the 80s and laugh along with The Goldbergs, starring Chicago's very own Jeff Garlin, weeknights 10:30 and 11 on WGN-TV.
This is the music. Joe Patterson, who's going to be with us a little bit later on.
Nice.
He's been with us before. He's got a whole Christmas album coming out. And as we're raising Toys for Tots here, right outside of our studios at Michigan Avenue and the river, we got the Apple Chevy Silverados out there. Drop your toys off. And we've got certificates to give away for everything you could possibly imagine.
Yeah.
Certificates are probably worth more than the toys. I'm just saying right there.
So do a good deed may just be rewarded for it in a big way.
That's what I'm trying to say. All right, speaking of doing a good deed and not getting rewarded for it, Michael Steele, who joins us every Friday, and that check is still in the mail. Hey, big story though. I mean, this is a landmark story in American history, really. When you get a national security advisor, even though short lived, national security advisor, not only indicted but convicted, right? Pleads guilty. Almost immediately here to now it's a minor count. I mean, it's funny as I'm watching the different news channels today mm-hmm. and trying to figure out how the administration is spinning this. My favorite spin, by the way, with the Michael Flynn pleading guilty to lying to the FBI was he's a former Obama appointee.
Uh-huh.
That's my favorite.
So he belongs
thing.
To him too,
right? Or yeah. it just or yeah. he just belongs to him. There's like no mention of the fact that he was actually Donald Trump's national security advisor, and that Barack Obama had told Donald Trump, "Don't take Flynn."
And he campaigned with right. him, and he's very close.
Well, the whole idea is only give anything you can back to Obama. That's just the nature of this. But you can't do that here. This is wholly owned by. Donald Trump, President of the United States, as you just noted, he was warned by the former President Obama that there were some real problems with Flynn. Probably, if I know, Obama was told what those problems were and what the concerns were, why he was fired by the administration. I can't see the president leaving that out of the conversation, that level of specifics. So there's a whole lot now coming into focus to show that the president, with people very, very close to him, could potentially have been mixed up in this thing to a degree that creates some real problems for him. I mean, I was listening to Judge Napolitano on Fox, and he, mm-hmm. I was surprised at what his legal analysis, led him to conclude in terms of what the president knew and how close to him it comes.
Well, I was listening to Judge Napolitano, too, and he said that, a monumental reduction of charges doesn't come for free, and that he likely was facing a wide range of charges, much more serious than lying to the FBI, but that plea bargained it down to just that one count in exchange for extreme cooperation. I mean, just total cooperation.
Yeah. And the key thing about that is, and everybody should be made aware of this, just because they've reached the plea agreement and he's gone into federal court and pled guilty on the one count, if Mueller and his investigators are not happy with what they're getting from him, mm-hmm. they will go back and they will hit him with everything that they brought to the table in the first instance. So those, potential 5 years for lying to the FBI, which likely will result in his not serving any time at all, could be somewhere beyond 15, 20, 25 years when you couple in everything else that they have against Mueller. The one thing that I think people...
Against Flynn, really you mean?
Need to exactly.
Yeah.
Against Flynn. The one thing you need to keep in mind, whenever, and this is just small advice for your audience. If you ever have an FBI agent come to you and ask you questions about something that he thinks you're potentially involved in, he's not asking you to find out what, you know, he doesn't know. He already knows a lot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And yeah. so it behooves you to assume that he knows everything you know and everything you did. So you might as well fess it up. And that's where Flynn got in trouble. You know, he sat down with the FBI in February. He lied to them. When they came to him, they already knew stuff. They already had the conversations conversations between him and Kislyak, the Russian ambassador, and other Russian officials. They already had that on tape. They already knew what they knew at that point. They just needed to see, okay, what kind of potential witness will he be, or what kind of potential defendant will he be? Will he be a cooperative one? Will he be one who will try to stonewall? He tried to stonewall, and bam, here we are.
Yeah. Well, now there's talk of Jared Kushner. And what I find interesting about this is how the investigation, the leaks come out of this investigation. I've seen this before. This isn't just a Washington thing. You see this a lot of times in local federal investigations, too, as they're trying to squeeze people. They'll drop a few things into the press to let them know. And so they leave it sort of like breadcrumbs along the trail. And one of the breadcrumbs that's been dropped today is that the guy who set up the meeting with Kislyak and Flynn was Jared Kushner. So now the question is Jared Kushner next? And, you know, what's the squeeze going to look like on him?
Well, I think he is next. I think the squeeze will be just as tight on him, if not tighter than on Flynn. And, you know, again, there comes a point where the idea that the president was wholly ignorant of and out of the loop on any of this or all of this becomes less and less credible. And that's how, you know, they start these investigations with guys like Papadopoulos, and everyone goes, oh, he's a little flunky. He was in a room. He got coffee for people. Yeah, he's sitting at the table with the attorney general elect and the president of the United States. He's a flunky. And then they just work their way up because they know guys like Papadopoulos, guys like Manafort, are not going to be the sacrificial lamb here. And as Flynn said himself today, one of the things that drove him to cooperate was he felt the sting of the president's rebukes. He felt the president had abandoned him. He felt the president. So, you know, all everybody needs to know is loyalty for Donald Trump is a one-way street.
Yeah.
With big one-way signs on it.
It doesn't always have a, not at the beginning, it doesn't have a one-way sign. You're beautiful. You're great. I love you. By the way, no Pocahontas. Hey, let me ask you a question very quickly. I would have said a week ago that the Donald Trump presidency will reach full term of in January of 2021. Do you think today, I would say there was a 90% chance of that. Do you think that percentage has gone down now?
No, I will say that percentage is still holds until we see one of the other shoes to drop. The interesting thing about Mueller is that he's got more than one foot that he can plant squarely up this administration's behind. And he's planted one and a half so far, and he's got a lot more that he can damage that he can do. And so let's see where we are come February. Mm-hmm. And get an assessment of what else has happened and what else is disclosed between now and then. You think about where Mueller began this thing. He's already gotten pleas. He's gotten indictments. Grand juries have been impaneled. All of this process has been very methodical, and there's much more method left for him to run through. So, I'd say it's still where it is. It's still where it is. We'll see, but the damage is starting to take hold for sure today.
All right.
No question.
Thank you very much, Michael Steele.
You got it.
Thank you. Care, appreciate
have
it.
Have a good weekend.
Right. Former head of the that's a Republican talking, by the way. Just letting you know.
Just a reminder.
Who ran, he was the chief Republican in the United States of America for a couple of years. So just saying. All right. Let us take a quick timeout. we are going to go. I'm going to go out in the Santa suit. I'm going to go out to Pioneer Court here.
Yep.
Susie Sunshine is here, and that is a very important thing. Susan
it is.
Schmidt.
Lots of movements on the market today.
Will tell us about how the market was impacted by this. But more importantly, I think for people's 401ks, how are the markets going to be affected by what appears to be the certainty now of some form of a tax bill coming out? It'll come out of the Senate for sure. And now it'll go to this conference, and we'll see. And, you know, we have people saying that by the end of next week, it could get signed.
Mitch McConnell says he has the votes.
Right, to get it out of the Senate. So we'll just have to see where. But yeah, it's going to change between now and then, but we'll just have to see what it looks like. And Susan Schmidt from Westwood Holdings in Dallas will be here to explain that to us. But first, Judy Pilak standing by. WGN News in 2 minutes. Christmas music today.
I think it's time. Some people say it's always too early. It's time. December 2nd. 3rd. Is it 3rd?
1st. It's the 1st.
It's the 1st. First day of December, I say, is a good time to start it.
Yes. Fine. Whatever. But not for every break. Not for every bumper, every break.
You
okay?
Don't like it, Rowan. You're just not.
Depends. I want it to be. It's got to be certain types.
Certain types of.
Certain types of Christmas music. It's got to be
like what?
It's got to be good musically.
Good musically.
Okay. Yeah, you know what I mean.
Like what? Just throw one out there. What's good?
Well,
All I Want for Christmas
Is You from Mariah Carey.
Little Mariah.
I do like that one. Yes.
I love that one.
Yeah.
Little Johnny Holloway.
Donny Hathaway, yes.
That
Johnny Holloway, Danny Hathaway. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that.
Neck and Cole.
Yeah, that's fine too. All right, listen, this is not why we called.
No.
We would like to mention that we are doing the Toys for Tots drive right here on Michigan Avenue today. We're filling up the Silverados, and they are filling up. We got Kevin and Violetta out there dressed as elves. I'm Santa. I'm in the studio right now as we get through the 3 o'clock hour, but I'll be out there on the street as well doing part of the show from there. So do not miss this.
It is Come a good by. Time. The Marines are here. We're collecting toys. People are stopping by.
What could possibly go wrong? Nothing.
And the weather's nice.
The weather's beautiful. It couldn't be better. And if you want to stop by the Walgreens, if you're on foot or you're going to be downtown on foot, there's a Walgreens in the Wrigley Building directly across Michigan Avenue from where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go in and buy 2-get-1-free toys and come and drop them off. And we have gift certificates from Tuscany, Bar Cargo, Superdog, and the Billy Goat Tavern.
How nice is that?
Very nice.
Thanks to them for kicking in a little bit of just a little incentive. Not that people need it, because I think people would like to help this cause. It's such a good cause, as we mentioned before. They help local kids. It doesn't matter who you are. If a local church or school or community center says we have a child in need, they identify that child and they get them toys. And hopefully they can get them more than one, depending on how much people give. So give what you can.
And you get all those certificates, by the way. Not just
Oh, you get
one
all of them?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you just... Okay.
No.
That's even
how
better.
How about that?
We're even going to feed you. You get a cheeseburger?
Yep. You get at Tuscany. You get $25 off Tuscany.
What?
That's
or
nice.
Bar Cargo. That's real nice. That's real nice.
That's real nice.
That's how they say it at Tuscany. It's real nice.
That's real nice.
All right. Here she is. Susie Sunshine is here. Susan Schmidt from Westwood Holdings in Dallas. She's in town today, and she stopped by. Thank you very much for taking part in all of this.
Well, I'm happy to be here. It's very exciting. You're a very convincing Santa.
Thank you.
And the elves are quite entertaining. Violetta looks great. Kevin does look like the elf that wants to be a dentist.
Don't you think so?
Yeah,
I'm just a misfit. That guy,
right,
the one who sings that.
The Island of Misfit
Toys. It's more not because he isn't like a very attractive guy, because he is, but in this case, it doesn't really fit. The suit isn't fitting him right. It's sort of pinching
in
wrong places.
Actually.
The haircut.
I think it's the haircut, a little bit.
Okay, part haircut, part sort of goofy suit.
But it looks good.
But he's doing it all for the good cause.
Yes,
exactly.
That's what we're all doing.
His heart's in it.
That's right.
And you look great, Ro. Don't let anyone tell you don't look great in that
suit. What do you mean? What have you heard? All right, let's talk about the markets here. And first of all, you get Dow 24,000.
First time ever.
Yeah.
And then biggest one day, was it one biggest one day gain in for the year?
Right. And then we had a little bit of a mishap this morning.
Yeah.
As we had it drop 300 points. But when news of the
Michael
Flynn news came out. And then, but then it came right back. So we closed essentially flat for the day. This is the best week the Dow's had since the beginning of the year. It was up, you know, over 2.5%. And what it really, I think, speaks to is how optimistic the market is, and the market perhaps getting a little bit ahead of itself. So be prepared, folks, because this could be a lot of volatility next week as they anticipate benefits from a tax plan. They're seeing the administration finally, you know, accomplishing something. They feel like Congress is coming together on this. There's a good chance that it's going to pass, and that's gotten a lot of people excited. So there's a lot of anticipation over what this means. Lower corporate tax rate means more earnings. More earnings means a higher value for these companies, and if you're a shareholder, you'll participate in that.
That's what I think is so interesting, because Wall Street clearly loves the idea of this tax plan based on what we're seeing with this rally. But then I think the biggest question is people listening and people in general say, well, okay, so Wall Street likes it. Business likes it. I guess that's good for the economy, but is that good for me? And will this middle class tax plan really pay off?
Right. Will it help? And I think the tax plan right now and the premise behind it and why Wall Street likes it, and it does, I think, have the general consensus view, is that this is going to support the economy. So we did see the taxation committee come out and talk about the tax plan as is, would add 0.8% to GDP. GDP came in this week at 3.3% for the last quarter, which is a very nice, healthy number. And so the market is thinking that this is going to be stimulus going forward. But remember that this tax plan is going to increase corporate profits. And corporate profits, when they go up, increases business spending, because the owners of the business then want to reinvest.
Well, there's
back
a debate about
business.
That, though, now. What is your position on it?
I think they do increase business spending. So if I'm getting more profitable and I see that my business is doing well, I want to expand my business. And so if I believe that I can expand my business into new markets and there's something there for me to go after, I will. And I'm going to spend on that.
So you think that will heat up mergers and acquisitions as well?
Well, yes. I do think we're going to see some M&A activity. But you usually see mergers and acquisition activity in a healthy market. So that's not atypical. And remember that we're still in a very low interest rate environment. So the low interest rates as a backdrop make mergers and acquisitions very viable, because you don't have to pay that much on your debt, right? You're getting a low interest rate for it. So I can borrow to buy this other company. But corporate profits, those corporate profits then get spent and you get business investment. And that's generally good, because that means more productivity, more people. That helps the economy
overall.
It
means more jobs and
more jobs,
maybe even higher wages even.
Earnings keep going up. And that's when the Fed has to start paying attention, because right now we just hit sort of what we view as max productivity. So we're really at our capability in terms of our productivity right now.
All right, very quickly, the political instability potentially here in Washington. Obviously, Michael Flynn pleading guilty today. Now, Jared Kushner and former Fox News Channel presenter KT McFarland, analyst at Fox News, named now as kind of next up in the barrel here. So that's, you know, it's getting a little bit obvious. It's now in the president's family. There is going to be, you know, some pushback here, and you could start to see, I mean, as early as this weekend, him reacting in ways that could maybe even derail the tax situation. Because if he fires Mueller over the weekend, or pardons Flynn over the weekend, the Senate is going to stop working on this, on the tax.
Well, they'll
bill.
Have to, but both extreme actions, and both extreme actions that I think everyone recognizes are extreme. So
I think everyone except for one guy.
I
can tell you who that
everyone,
guy is.
Yes, I'm hoping everyone recognizes how extreme that would be.
The president just tweeted 3 minutes ago, economists on the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, the enactment of comprehensive overhaul complete with a lower corporate tax rate, will ignite in caps our economy in caps with levels of growth in caps not seen in generations in caps. Is that
debatable?
Accurate?
Well, I think we just said 0.8% added to GDP. So I don't know if that's igniting the economy to levels that we've never seen before, but it's certainly
a
productive boost.
Better,
it's positive.
It's better than a sharp stick in the eye.
Of course it is.
Or a red hot poker somewhere else, as my dad used to say.
Oh,
all right, here we go. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming down and doing this with us today. We really appreciate it.
You can't say that dressed as Santa. You're
in
a Santa
costume.
I know.
It just seems it's so out of place.
What? All right, here is Violetta Powder-Medic, also out of place, with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. Thank you, Anna.
Talking about your closet there,
representing my closet. That was very, very good. All right, we're out here on Michigan Avenue. Toys for Tots, Daniel Carcillo, Chicago Blackhawks great, NHL great, otherwise known as Car Bomb. And how does Car Bomb celebrate Christmas?
Putting out milk and cookies for St. Nick, and just enjoying my 7-month-old daughter and my 3-year-old boy.
Are you a Christmas morning guy or a Christmas Eve present guy?
I am a midnight type of opening.
Oh, big.
I'm not a morning person at all.
So it's like a midnight that night for all the presents or just one?
You just get one. Okay. Just one.
And then the morning for everything else?
Yeah, and then the morning. But, I mean, you pretty much already know what we're all getting, right?
That's true. Yeah, you know, also, you know, when you got the little kids, I seem to remember this. It's kind of an important thing. You know, they get all excited, then they go right to sleep, right? And then you and the missus, you know, sort of like that sort of late night after midnight, you know, kind of let's have a glass of wine and God knows what happens.
Yeah, the elf on the shelf gets hidden, and then, you know, the big boys can play. So.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Because that elf on the shelf, you can't look at that elf on the shelf while you're doing something like that, because it's got that look on its face like it's actually watching you do something like that. So that's bad deal.
It's no good. But yeah, once the kids go to bed, you know, my parents actually just got down here this weekend, so it'll be nice for them to be here. And I have my daughter's baptism and my boy's birthday. So, but I'll be up in Canada for Christmas this year, and there's no elf on the shelf in Canada.
Really?
I only came across that in America.
Oh, we got to start selling it up there because it's a gigantic hit.
No doubt.
The Car Bomb on the shelf. It could be you. It look just like you. How about that? Oh.
I'll just wind up the ticker, and then I'll blow up like, you know, the Jack in the Box, you know.
Well, thank you so much for coming down here and being a part of this. We really do appreciate it. And it, you know, the United States Marines are here. We want to thank them for being here from the 224. We got the Silverados, the Chevy Silverados are filling up quickly here.
Exactly. We brought some gifts from the Blackhawks, a couple mini sets of goal sets, some sticks. I think we have Chase from Paw Patrol.
Oh, excellent.
He's a big hit in my house. So, yeah, all good.
That's another thing we got to do. We got to get one of those cartoons, too. I got a lot of plans for us, Daniel. I got a lot of plans. All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it. Daniel Carcillo for the Chicago Blackhawks. And we've got the WGN news coming your way in 2 minutes. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. And we are out on Michigan Avenue. Right now, we've just stepped back into the studio. Mm-hmm. I've just stepped back into the studio. But we got Kevin is still out there. Violetta's going to be out there.
It's collecting the toys.
Actually, they're in there. They're back up in the. What are you guys doing back up in the studio?
Even elves get cold.
Take a
what?
Breather.
It's not that cold outside.
It's not.
I had to charge my phone.
Yeah, refresh the sports stuff.
Oh,
make
my
sure
gosh.
I'm not missing. We'll be back out there in about 30, 40 minutes. Anna, I haven't seen you out there yet.
No, I know. That's true. I shouldn't criticize. I'm not dressed as an elf, fortunately.
What are you doing? But this is the whole point of this. Oh, we're so cold. This is why everybody hates millennials.
Oh, managing
millennials.
It has nothing to do with being cold. I just want to make sure I'm on top of all the sports stuff.
My feet are cold. I'm only wearing the slippers.
Gosh.
I didn't wear shoes. Oh, just geez. These little slippers.
We'll be back out there.
I thought it was about the kids.
No, well, she's complaining, though. He's coming in to do his work.
I'm coming in to do work as well. Traffic reports aren't going to write themselves, people.
Yeah.
Before you go out the next time, I have some toys here. Maybe you can bring them out there.
The important people are out there.
I don't want to go outside either. I'd get cold.
The Marines are still out there, the important people. We'll be out there in just a few minutes.
There are a lot of police out here, too. We want to thank them for creating the perimeter for us. All right. And it's right here, Michigan Avenue, 435 North Michigan Avenue, Pioneer Court. We got the Apple Chevy, Chevrolet Silverados out here that are filling up with toys for tots. And the Marines are going to take them with them. This is a great thank you so much to everybody involved in this. And when you come by and you drop that off, we have people that are giving you certificates, an envelope of certificates, including Tuscany Restaurant, Super Dog, Billy Goat Tavern.
You get
couldn't
to
be better.
Some friendly GN listeners
couldn't
there be right now just stopped by and dropped off some toys.
Now we're doing this, and it's one of the biggest news days of the year.
I know.
Right? In America, as Michael Flynn predicted on this very radio show about a year, a year ago, August, I said someone's going to jail at the end of this thing, and I said it's going to be, whether Trump wins or loses, these guys are going to jail in this order. Manafort, Flynn, and Roger Stone. Now, Roger Stone yet to have been brought into this.
No.
But
The only one you missed was Papadopoulos.
Who knew who he was?
No
even
one even
there.
Knew.
He was getting coffee. He was a minor league guy.
He was just a coffee guy.
My favorite, Mike Monaco, our legal analyst, is here. My favorite thing said today from the White House about Michael Flynn pleading guilty today to lying to the FBI and now cooperating with the feds. We'll get to what all that means with Michael, because I'm sure he's had a few clients who've done this. That they said they referred to Michael Flynn as Obama appointee. General Michael Flynn. You got to say, they do have a sense of humor over at the White House.
I thought the most ironic thing today was when the folks were yelling at Flynn as he left the courthouse today, lock him up.
Right. Because he led many rallies in the
many
lock her
rallies.
Up chant.
Lock her up. Yeah,
in at 16.
That's right. One thing you don't want. You don't want to say that. Lock no. someone else up if there's a risk that you yourself might be in that situation. Just saying.
That's
as,
by the
as,
way,
as I've advised you often.
That's
Rogue,
a pro tip.
You don't want to say that.
That's a pro
don't
tip from a lawyer
up.
Right there.
Exactly.
Don't get in that.
Exactly. Is that advice free?
Right, exactly. So you remember when
don't wag your finger either. As it turns out, we're seeing that a lot in
yes.
Hollywood and everywhere else.
Yes.
People going, I can't believe.
How
can you
it?
Believe how awful Harvey Weinstein was? Yeah. And the next thing you know,
oops.
Mm-hmm. It's like, what about you?
Oops. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Well, it was March of this year that Kellner, Robert Kellner, who's still his lawyer, said that Flynn had a lot to say. He had a story to tell.
Were here talking about
that. We talked about it, if he got immunity. And it turns out he didn't need immunity. He got indicted. Now, he got a pretty good deal. He just pled guilty to a one count of lying to the FBI, which is a five-year possible. It would be interesting to see what the judge does in that case, because he's got low guidelines, and he may not have to serve any time at all in jail, actually.
Right. I mean, this is one of those things that, I mean, this gets added on to a lot of different
right.
cases.
And the fact that his son is not charged today is probably also meaningful to him.
But isn't it unusual that you would only be charged with that? We saw with Blagojevich, that was one of the charges, and there were so many others piled up. Does this lead you to believe there were more charges they were considering, and there was a reduction in exchange for cooperation?
Oh, absolutely. And you're exactly right. Just as Blagojevich was charged with a dozen different things, Flynn could have been charged with a dozen different things, I'm sure. But they, as I'm sure it was part of the negotiations, that they reduced it to just 1 5-year count, which is good for him. Because even if the judge wants to hurt him, he can only give him 5 years.
Only 5 years.
Only 5 years, yeah. Which means he'd have to do 85% of that.
Right. Okay. But in this particular case, it'll be based on his cooperation. Now, what if he agreed to cooperate on a number of things and then chooses not to?
Well, then the deal is broken. If you break, as this itself says, he has to continue to cooperate. If he breaks the deal, then the deal is broached, and they can indict him and charge him with anything they want to charge him with. That's under the law.
All right, and now the other news that is breaking today is that they're in this agreement.
Yes, this is very interesting.
That has now been released. Mm-hmm. There is a reference to a very high-ranking official
in the transition team, right?
Mm-hmm. And now multiple news organizations are identifying that person as Jared Kushner.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
The other person is, there's also another transition team member that has been identified, at least CNN has reported, that is KT McFarland, Fox News Channel viewers will remember her. She was a national security expert for Fox News Channel for a number of years. She at one point had been in the National Security Administration or agency, and she's in a Republican administration, and she came in, and you know Trump loved her because he watched her on the Fox News Channel.
Perfect.
And brought her in and made her the number two to Flynn at the NSA.
Right, number two.
Now then as this whole thing started to fall apart in the spring, they moved her out, and she then became an ambassador to a
Singapore,
far-flung island in the South Pacific. Yeah.
Well, how far away can we put you?
I got Singapore an idea. Sound.
Yes. Singapore is good for you?
Let's get something without extradition.
Yeah. How about Tinian? Yeah. What about Tinian? I got a Tinian?
Yeah. But this is serious. And the fact that Jared Kushner is the person who is the transition team the senior member of the transition team, who in his statement of the offense, they make point the fact that he spoke with a senior member of the transition team. That is a
And he was instructed. Now, here's instructed by a senior member of the transition team to take the meeting with Kislyak.
Right.
So now that becomes the issue, is how did he end up meeting with Kislyak, at which, again, this is all based on stuff that is coming out in this indictment and now being leaked, and we'll get to that part in just a second.
Red hot.
In the meeting with Kislyak, there was a discussion about reducing the sanctions against the Russians that had been put in place by the Obama administration.
By President Obama, right. That's after they stormed the Crimea, you know, all of that.
Right. Yeah. So now the question, now what kind of peril is Jared Kushner in?
Right.
That's on the other side of the WGN traffic trouble spots with Violetta Pottermedic, who's got cold feet. Literally.
Literally.
Play ball. Celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com. Check it out today.
All right. We were talking to Michael Monaco. Taking a few minutes inside the studio here. Before we head back out onto Michigan Avenue, by the way, there's still a bunch of WGN staff out and on State Street right now, and we've got Kevin is working his way back out onto the street, and Violetta, she's actually soaking her feet now.
They're very
cold.
In a
tub, yeah, to make sure that her feet are okay.
Do you have any some Epsom salt?
I do. We have socks down here. We have extra socks in case our socks get wet.
I wouldn't try those on.
We have they're in a package.
Violetta, stay away from those.
They're in a package.
They're totally not
Violetta
used.
Seems like such a very nice, sweet, clean person. I don't think she should be in
there. Just take the paper towels out of the bathroom and you stuff those in your shoes. That's what I always did.
Yeah. I'll be out there soon. Yeah. I want to see.
It's not like Dr. Zhivago out there at 60 degrees.
I know, it's nice and warm, isn't it?
It's really great.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be nice this weekend.
I have tights on.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Oh gosh.
There you go. Now we're talking.
Okay. Matt Lauer on Live Parade. All right, here we go, Mike. Yeah. Let's talk about this.
This is big. This is big. What happened today is big.
Mike Monaco's with us. And
this is the biggest thing that's happened so far.
In the Trump
case, it's the closest person to Trump, and they link him to Trump's son-in-law giving him instruction about the meeting
with the
telephone call with the Russian Kislyak. Yeah, it's amazing that he's involved that tightly to it, because up to now, Trump and everybody else in the campaign was claiming it's all fake.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, it's not. Well, I mean, they're still going to claim it's fake.
No, I don't think
they referred to Michael Flynn as an Obama appointee today.
Okay.
They're going to. I mean, listen. I mean, no. Right. Seriously.
Let's be honest.
With the way the president operates, he is going to completely deny this and say that it has nothing to do with him, and Flynn was always a bad guy, and he was an Obama guy, and that's why he shouldn't have had him in. He was trying to be ecumenical, and yet he took the wrong guy in. That's what. And believe me, his 38%, which is, you know, immovable.
Right, okay, that may be true, but the Republican people in charge can't say that. Mueller's not going to say that.
Mueller knows the difference.
Well, Mueller knows the difference. Not only that, people close to the president who are at risk of being indicted know it.
Well, now the president can just start pardoning people, can't he?
Well,
that's the question. Is that possible, or has he already agreed that he's going to work with Mueller and that's it?
That's a very good question. Somebody raised today the fact that if he is considering pardoning someone who is either part of his family or part of his staff, does that make any pardoning of that person a violation of his conflict of interest? In other words, is that a conflict of interest?
But I thought a president can't have a conflict of interest.
Well, that's not exactly what the law is, I don't believe. So this is we're talking about something that's never been issued before. There's never been an issue of this before, obviously. Now it's going to be an issue.
Archibald Cox.
Well, but there was no legal issue. That never went to the Supreme Court. Nothing ever happened.
There's no precedent.
Precedent. So here, because the people that are being, that he's considered, that potentially he could pardon, are part of his immediate family, does that pose a conflict of interest for the president to do that? And I think it does. Now, does that mean that he can't then pardon that person?
But that leads then to a constitutional crisis.
Right. That's a constitutional crisis. For example, can he pardon himself? That people have said he can. over the years. People said over the years, people have said he can, but there's this now this issue has arisen in this discussion that he can't pardon himself because that would be a conflict of interest to do that.
Mike, now with this the development that Jared Kushner has been named as the likely person who's the very senior Trump transition official directing Michael Flynn to do this, the contact with the Russians, what would your advice to him be at this point? What do you think is going to happen next steps if he truly is that person?
Is this illegal what he did?
That's a good question.
Well,
I mean, just saying, hey, take a call with the guy and tell him, hey, we'll probably, you know, we're going to review.
Well, we're going to review
the sanctions.
Yeah, well,
I mean, what's illegal about that?
Well, it's part of a bigger issue, right? I mean, the bigger issue was the campaign working with the Russians to help?
But if they don't prove that, and they just prove that listen, they want to make nice with the Russians because, let's say, they want to make... Here's what we do know for sure. They know that the administration or the campaign, the Trump campaign, learned pretty late on that the Russians were trying to help them. Maybe they were helping them help them or not. It doesn't really matter. They knew at the end that they were Russians tried to help
Kushner
them.
Kushner was at the Trump Tower meeting with the Russians, with his brother-in-law, with Manafort.
Right. Well, that was they invited Kislyak to be there, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but the thing is let's say that there was no actual that the Trump campaign didn't help the Russians or get help from the Russians directly, that the Russians were doing this all on their own and that and they never had that kind of conversation. Don't you have to create that nexus? Don't you have to create that connection that in order for it to be a crime for Jared Kushner to have told Michael Flynn to go tell the Russians it's going to be okay, we're going to pull the sanctions back? Don't you have to prove that there was a quid pro quo there?
I suppose you should. You probably would have to do that. It doesn't seem to me like that's that much of a stretch, given the fact that what we know about how much the Russians
were. That wouldn't be a stretch at all, but the point is, you have to prove it, though.
You
might have
to prove it.
Proving that might be kind of hard.
Well, I'm not so sure hard is. Certainly, of course, there's the other issue, just like the one that Flynn pled to, and that is, has Kushner lied to people talking about it? Because he just met with the Mueller's people last week.
Right. Right.
So did he lie too?
Yeah, exactly.
If he lied to her, did he misforget?
Yeah.
Or whatever. Misforget.
Oh, it's funny. Yeah. There was a lawyer in Chicago just recently who put in Sessions' comments where he says how much he forgot and that he was tired or it was everything was going crazy. To compare that with his client in Chicago. That was.
By the way, Sessions. If I'm Sessions too, I'd write myself in the Alabama Senate race.
Is that your write-in?
I wouldn't want to be Attorney General in the middle of all this, because
yes,
he won't last.
Was it just this week he testified in front of the House behind closed doors in the House committee on this, and he refused to answer the question whether Trump tried to hinder the investigation into the Russian collusion.
Michael, right before we let you go, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked your fellow Hoya, Michael Steele, an hour ago.
Really?
Do you think if the sort of over-under is 90% that Donald Trump makes it through his first term as president, assuming that 90%, just, you know, based on
my,
his age.
My guess would be less than that.
Less than that now?
Yes,
do you think
sure.
It went down today?
Yeah, it went down, I'm thinking, 75%, maybe even lower.
Wow. So this is a big move.
That his son-in-law is potentially going to be indicted? Yeah, I think it's less than 90%.
Because he's going to pardon his son-in-law. You know he's going to do that.
Well, we'll see.
Michael Flynn, maybe not.
Does Mueller already have the president in his sights? Do you think at
for
this
sure.
point? And do you think he has the path leading there, and that's what he's just building up the ladder?
Well, when you read the statement of the offense, it talks all about the Donald Trump, the campaign, as senior member of the Donald Trump, you know, it talks all about Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. You know,
so what? What if he fires Mueller over the weekend?
If he fires Mueller over the weekend, then we'll see whether the Republicans will make a stand.
Wait, we got to vote on taxes first.
Exactly. That's true.
Don't do anything until we vote on taxes.
Get the inheritance tax taken
for
care
sure.
of.
Right. What about the inheritance?
I don't have to worry about that.
They get that out of it. That's all they needed. They just need to get long enough to get the inheritance tax through for Don Jr. Yeah. and for Eric and Ivanka, because, you know, Tiffany and Barron aren't getting anything. And they just move. As soon as they get into that, all right, I quit. I got it done. I quit.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But he says,
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Michael.
My pleasure. Merry Christmas, Anna.
I'm going to go back out on Michigan Avenue and be a little Santa Claus, a little Santa cheer out there. I want my elves with me, too.
I'm coming.
Row strong.
Yeah. We got the row strong bracelets out there as well.
There you go.
So if people want to stop by and drop off
a Christmas gift.
Yeah, it's a nice thing to give to the people.
Yeah, exactly.
I think, don't you?
I think free gift certificates to the cheeseburger,
that's better, right?
Maybe
that's
Tuscany gift certificate.
Bar Cargo, Super Dogs. We got the certificates we're giving away, and then just bring a toy.
Well,
just bring a toy. Drop it off right here.
It's a great day.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN, and we're raising toys for Toys for Tots today on Michigan Avenue. We are right here at the corner of Michigan Avenue and Heaven, right by the river. Pioneer Court is what it's called.
Mm-hmm. Look for the big Silverados, the red one and the white one with the Christmas trees on them, and you can drop off your Toys for Tots right there.
You know what I have in my fridge right now and make a great gift this holiday season? Dicka's original jardinera. It's some of the great jardinera in the city of Chicago.
Get a whole
box of it. Maybe get the beef to go along with it.
Coach, did you see what he just did right there? He just plugged your own jardinera. That was very good.
So you don't have to.
You don't have to give me the whole load, just a little bit of it.
All right, now let me just also mention this before we talk to Coach Ditka. We got gift certificates to the people who drop off toys right now. At the Toys for Tots drive right here, we got Apple Chevy Silverados parked out here, filled to the brim with toys. We want more toys. If you drop off a toy, you get a gift certificate to Tuscany, which is a great restaurant.
Yes,
you
it
get
is.
Certificates to Super Dog, mm-hmm. to Billy Goat Tavern or Bar Cargo. And Walgreens across the street on Michigan Avenue is offering buy two, get one free toys right now on their main level so that people can just do that and then come over here. And
as you're really speaking, Ro, it's so sweet to see there's a line of people coming up with their hands full of toys to drop them off. And so thank you for doing that, because we have to remind everyone that all of these gifts stay local. And so the outcome of the needy kids in our community relies on you and your generosity.
Right. And we want to thank the 224 who are here, the United States Marine Corps Reserve 224, for being here. So it's amazing. 2nd Battalion, 24th Marines. All right, let us now, Coach, this is an unhappy.
Wait. Yeah. 1 second. I want to thank you and WGN for what you're doing. You're making somebody's Christmas special, and I think that's very, very good. A lot of people don't ever think about it. Toys for Tots, well, it's a nice thing, but you're doing it, so God bless you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you saying that, Coach. All right, now I'm going to say something very unpleasant. Uh-oh. This is the worst Bears team I have ever seen. All right, thank you and good night. What am I supposed to do with this?
I don't know.
What are your thoughts?
Well, they haven't been winning, but, you know, if you look at the – and I'm not going to sugarcoat it. They got a game this week that they should win. They play at home. They play the 49ers at home. The 49ers have been struggling. This is not the Bears of the 80s or the 49ers of the 80s. The Bears, and I said it all year, you know, you do what you do well. Play good defense, run the football, and play good special teams. Things will work out for you. Don't worry about throwing the ball all over the place. Don't worry about who gets the glory. Just do the basic things. They can do them well, and they should come up with a win this week.
Yeah, and they're gonna face Jimmy Garoppolo, Coach, who grew up in Arlington Heights, went to Rolling Meadows High School, and you know that a lot of people have been talking about how these two careers, Mitch Trubisky and Garoppolo, will be intertwined really forever, and everyone's gonna compare them because the Bears had a chance to trade for Garoppolo in the offseason. Do you think they made the right decision, just sticking to their guns and drafting Trubisky rather than trading their third overall pick to the Patriots for Garoppolo?
No, I don't think you can look back. I think the Bears did the right thing. I really like Mitch. I mean, I really do. I think the potential's there. You put the right things in place, get everything else working, and I think Mitch will be a great quarterback for a long time to come for the Chicago Bears. Garoppolo, I don't know enough about him. I really don't. I know he was in New England, and when you're in New England, you're playing behind Brady, so nobody knows about you. So then,
he did play four. But he did play during the suspension last year.
Oh, here we go. Got to bring that up.
He did come out and play. He played great.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he was.
He's a good football player. There's no question about that. And, you know, again, you know, you can't worry about the past. You can't worry about what will happen. Just control what is going to happen on Sunday afternoon and get a win.
Well, speaking of that, controlling what will happen, his development, Trubisky's development, I think is what's exciting for everyone and maybe what worries everyone as well, because you think how much coaching is going to be a big part of his future and how fast he develops. You look at someone like Carson Wentz, who's a superstar, and what, isn't it second year in the league? Mm-hmm. And you're like, could Trubisky be that guy that soon? And what kinds of steps do you have to take to get him there, Coach?
Well, I think a lot of things, you've got to surround them with the right people. No question about it. Coaching has something to do with it. But let me tell you about when you look at talking about the kid in Philadelphia, this kid's a great athlete. Yeah, he's got a great coach, and I understand all that. But they put a system in that fits him, throws the ball. They got the receivers to do it. They can run the ball. They got the whole package right now. The Bears are still trying to find some of that stuff. I hate to say, something is forever, but Mitch Trubisky would be my quarterback going forward, and I would stake my career on it that he's going to be a winner.
How concerned should we be, though, that his production does seem to be down? I mean, he's a rookie. Obviously, he's going to see a lot of things coming at him. There's in the NFL, you're always going to have injuries. Clearly, there's going to be a different coaching staff next year, so you will have to get used to a new system. But, I mean, how much damage can they do, any damage to his head right here or his confidence that could affect him in seasons to come?
Oh, I don't know Mitch that well. I met him and talked to him. I think his head's screwed on right. I don't think that's going to bother him. He's got self-confidence. He believes in what he can do. He can play the game of football. There's no question about it. But the quarterback is an extension of the rest of the team. If you don't have a good running game to protect him, a good offensive line to protect him, you're going to have problems. And right now they're struggling to find an identity. There's no question about it. But the Bears have one thing. They can play good defense. They can run the football and play good special teams. They should match up well. They should get a win on Sunday.
You think the Eagles are the best team in the NFL right now?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the Saints are pretty good. I mean, there's a lot of teams that can put up points on any given day. The Rams, but the Eagles are the best football team I've seen. I'm really impressed, because everybody says, "Well, it's Carson Wentz." Yeah, it is. But it's the receivers, the tight end, it's a running back. I mean,
defense
playing good. No package.
Coach, on Monday we got word at Hallis Hall that there was a heated argument between a couple of receivers. Turned out to be Josh Bellamy and Trey McBride. McBride gets cut the following day. That's an argument that spilled over from the film room into the hallway, and the media heard it. What do you make of that? You know, because some people were surprised to see McBride get cut the next day. Is that something? I know it's, you don't know all the details, but when you had guys in heated arguments, whether it's on the playing field or inside Hallis Hall, Coach, how did you handle that as a coach?
Well, we had a saying back when I was coaching: what you see here, what you say here, what you do here, leave it here when you leave here. Period. You leave that stuff in the on the practice field, or in the training room, or in the locker room. You don't take it out, and you don't put it out in public. I mean, I watched the thing the other day. I watched two guys get in a fight. I couldn't believe it was a football game. I never seen guys hitting each other like that in my life. I don't know what the game was on. What was Thursday night, I guess.
Yeah.
And it was incredible. I mean, and I'm saying to myself, you know, you got to respect the game. You got to respect your opponent. Yeah, you try to beat the crap out of him. That's why you're out there. You try to win. You try to beat him. But you got to respect the game and your opponent. I mean, you know, they're not bad guys. It's just the opposition.
Right. Well, yeah, that's both those guys got two-game suspensions for that, the biggest ever handed out for an on-field incident.
That wasn't enough.
Well, I agree with you, because, you know, this is a year in which the NFL is under a lot of scrutiny. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, the world's a little sideways and there's a lot of things going on. But the NFL has to guide itself through a very difficult period, because it's getting attacked from both the left and the right, politically in this country, and it's having trouble identifying itself as a pastime and as an entertainment. It's become much more of a cultural icon that people are reacting to, you know, injecting their own politics into it, and nobody needs that. And so players need to understand that they are entertainers, that they are role models. I know a lot of them like to say, "Well, I'm not really a role model." Yes, you are, and you've got to be considered You got to consider that kind of that thing, and it can't just be about you. And by the way, that fight you're talking about, Coach, I can't wait to hear your thought on this. That fight started with one player snatching the necklace off another player on the field. Oh. Why are they wearing jewelry in football?
Well, we had a rule. No one wore jewelry. No one. So, I mean, I can only tell you, you don't wear jewelry. But, you know, what's the point? Snatching, I don't know what it was, a medallion or what.
Yeah. And he had taped it to his chest because he knew it was going to get snatched because they snatched it last time those two teams saw each other.
Well, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, why? I mean, if you know it's going to get snatched, don't wear it. Take it off. Keep it. It's probably a gift from somebody. Keep it, and then you'll have it when the game's over. You know, you can't. I mean, it looks like we're trying to do things to aggravate people. Some of these players, you can't do that. You got to play the game, respect the game, play it with honor, play it as hard as you can. Knock the other guy on his butt. But you know, hey, when you knock him down, pick him up, say, hey, listen, I'm coming again for you. That's all you got to do. You don't have to get in all the pushing contests, shoving contests, and all this other stuff. It means nothing. You listen, I played the game for a while. I got my butt knocked off by Ray Nitschke. And Ray was one of the great linebackers. We ever over the years before he passed, we became pretty good friends. But I tell you what, when I got a shot at him, I took it. But it was a clean shot. It was a clean shot. I took it. I did. You know, he said, that wasn't clean. I said, it was, Ray. You saw me coming. But, you know, I'm just telling you, you know, it was different back then. And I mean, I can remember first time I went to the Bears, I had to block Doug Atkins. Hello, Doug Atkins, come on. He picked me up like a toothpick and threw me to the side. I said, Doug, this is only practice. I'm on your team. Please help me.
All right, Coach. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you,
Coach.
All right. Mike Ditka right there. All right. Here we got Violetta Podomatic with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Yeah! Drink, man, I'm going to get gas. Going to get high, man. A triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here? I want one bourbon, one shot, one beer, one bourbon, one shot, one beer.
Tastes great, makes women appear more attractive, and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life. And I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it. I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
So. I'm gonna give you the calendar and the itinerary for the leftover. You cook the food on Wednesday night. Thursday, you ate the food. Friday, that when it was his best. Saturday, you're pushing it. Sunday, ain't no more leftover. Monday, you're tripping. Tuesday, your ass getting worse if you still eating them leftovers. Wednesday, hospital. Thursday, dead. It's an expiration date on them leftovers.
Oh, that is no way to roll out the Carnarvon wagon right
no,
there.
No, we don't do leftovers on the Carnarvon wagon.
Oh, that's not good. That's not good at all. All right, I am out on Michigan Avenue right now for the Toys for Tots drive. Thanks to our friends at Apple Chevrolet. They got the Silverados pulled up here. We're filling them up with toys. And, I mean, this thing is brimming with toys now.
So nice.
There's a life-size lion out here.
I saw them bring it in. There was a group of people, looked like they all knew each other, with their hands literally full of toys. It was such a cool sight.
Yeah, it's amazing. We want to thank them for doing that. I'm just very glad that Don Jr. or Eric aren't here to shoot the thing while we're sitting on the
too soon.
Too soon? Oh, damn it. I'm sorry. All right, now the Carnarvon wagon is rolling inside. I grabbed our Carnarvon host out here, Bill Sienis from the Billy Goat Tavern, the great Billy Goat Tavern. You guys have done something very, very special. You've given us a bunch of gift certificates to give away, hundreds of gift certificates to give away to people who are dropping off the toys here for the world-famous cheeseburger right here in the Michigan Avenue location. It's directly below us, is it not?
Yes, right below the... Right below Michigan Avenue. Right.
I'm basically standing over the grill right now, am I not?
You're right there.
Yeah, so close enough.
It should be getting warm, yeah.
Now, people think about Billy Goat. I mean, it's what I can just tell you, Rich can tell you, Anna can tell you, long standing members of the Fourth Estate here in Chicago.
Yep.
We've all done some time in the Billy Goat because it was the press hangout forever. The one down in Lower Michigan Avenue forever and ever and ever and ever. Mike Royko made it very, very famous, right?
Legendary.
Yes, a very, very good friend of ours. And all the media, different newspapers used to come in, and they still come in, but a lot of the newspaper reporters used to hang out there after work.
Because it was halfway between the Tribune and the Sun-Times, right, when the Sun-Times was on Wabash and the Tribune, of course, on Michigan Avenue, and everybody would meet, and then they'd put their lance pens down, and all the fighting would stop, and all the drinking would commence. And if you wanted to find out, what to me was amazing is that the city, like the aldermen and the mayor and people like that, they didn't think to put a spy in the middle of a table there to hear what the reporters were talking about, because they would have figured out these stories well before they came out, because there are a lot of guys getting drunk and telling the stories in there. All right, so let's talk about the now Billy Goat, not only world famous cheeseburgers, which you can now buy at Jewel, right?
Yes, all the Jewel locations, they have our burgers there, frozen burgers, so you could get them and cook Billy Goat burgers at home.
You just throw them basically a frying pan, or if you got a grill or something, you just throw it right on that, right?
Yeah, so we got the two sizes, the thinner ones that we have at the store, and then you got the quarter pound, third of a pound that you could do on a grill. So you could put them on a frying pan like now in the wintertime, or if you want to, it's still nice outside, so you can still barbecue.
Yeah, that's true. It's 60 degrees. And I just want to tell you something, Bill. It's 60 degrees. It's 160 degrees in this Santa suit right now.
Oh, it's polyester, I think.
Yes.
Doesn't help.
Right. I'm going to say right now, the Marines are here for Toys for Tots. I'm like, if you wore this in battle, like in the, we could take the North Pole back from the Russians right now if you just wore this thing. The funny thing to me about the whole thing when you watch the grill work at Billy Goat is you could throw those patties frozen on the griddle, right?
Yeah, but you can throw them frozen, but we have them not frozen at the store, at the Billy Goat. Right. So we just cook them fresh every day, and they come out in like 1 or 2 minutes, they're ready.
Right, but you could take the frozen ones you buy at the store, and like in 5 minutes or so, or 6 minutes, they'd be done, right?
Yeah, no, those are quick also. You could get them from the store, and you just cook them right on a frying pan.
I've done that before, and they are excellent,
I have a question.
Yes.
Has it been the same recipe for years and years? Has it been modified over the years?
The same recipe. So we don't put any fillers in there. It's just pure beef. It's about an 85-15, fat content. It's the same burger. So it's pure beef.
Listen, I can tell you guys something about those burgers and why they're so tasty and why Bill would never change that perfect recipe. You got to remember, we talk about back in the day, that burger had to cut through the taste buds of wily veteran newspapermen who had been smoking Marlboros for 36 straight hours before they finally decided they needed something to eat. So you got to get some flavor to shoot through that. When a Rick Hogan, I guess I should eat something, sweetie. You got to be able to cut through the cigarette smoke there.
That's hard to do.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That is really true. And you know what else they have, too, is the bread. The bun that it comes on, which is, basically it's a Kaiser roll, and then with the pickle, you get the two pickles. You got to sell those too. Because you got to get the two little pickle or three pickle slices with the cheese, and that's American cheese, right?
American cheese, yes.
Yeah. All right, so you got the American cheese, the three pickle slices, and then on the Kaiser roll. I mean, I'm telling you, it's like a meal right there. And the Kaiser, I found that the Kaiser roll kicks its way through the alcohol faster. There's more absorption going on there with the Kaiser roll. Was that intentional?
I think that was part of the initial taste testing.
Yeah, right.
They know what they're doing.
I know what's going on here. I know.
Sure.
Are you the grandson?
It was my great uncle. Yeah. So my dad is Sam. He's the owner now. Sure. And the original owner was my great uncle.
And he's the very famous one. The last time they were with us, they brought the Billy Goat. They actually Billy Goat into the studio
sure.
with us.
Yeah. Caused some problems.
And I want to say that I want to thank, if I could just thank right now, the people at the Trib Tower who helped us get this done, Lee Golub, among them, who were, because we needed to take a piece of Pioneer Court, which I'm not quite sure we own, and put these Chevy Silverados out here to get the toys on them. And the folks who were actually working this out at the tree, I don't know if I should mention their name because I don't know if they want the recognition for this, but they were the ones who got the goat into our studio because it never had there been livestock in the and you would think at WGN, Orion would have brought a cow or something in. But it turns out there'd never been livestock in the studios here.
It's hard to believe.
Geez, because I remember some stories about previous owners that some of those poker parties seemed to... No, they didn't. Okay. Yeah. Too soon?
Might have been some exceptions on different floors.
Not what they meant. But so they
the power pig.
They brought the goat in, and the goat was lovely, by the way.
Oh, such a sweetie.
It was very talkful too. It talked a lot,
It actually did. It was bleating at us. I guess it was a goat too. I don't know. Whatever it does, not bleed. All right. And by the way, I want to thank the Tribune Tower for letting it in. All right. Now the other thing you've got here too. You're starting to sell this, the Billy Goat beer. You're actually doing two. You're doing an IPA and a pilsner, right?
So we teamed up with a local brewery, Bader Brau. It's in South Loop area. And they started making our beer, and we decided to. So we've had it on tap for maybe 5 months now, and people like this, so we decided to do a canned beer, and you could buy it at Jewel as well, and now you could have burgers and beer. You know, the combination.
that's the original combination, right? I mean, it's
right,
it's,
bro. I'm enjoying the pilsner right now. It's absolutely fantastic. It's got a great kind of Chicago taste. It brings the Billy Goat right to the palm of your hand and then down the gullet.
And now, Bill, I want you to stand here. I want you to meet Violetta Podomatic. She's our traffic reporter. She's out here. I like the fact that you're dressed as an elf and you're wearing your Tribune Media ID out here because they won't let you in and out of the building. Is that right?
Well, that's right. And I wear this everywhere just to give me some, like, legitimacy.
Yeah.
The elf outfit or the Tribune
Even
ID?
Even at the North Pole, okay. Yeah.
It's actually, I think, the elf outfit. It's, I think that's working just
We've got a shelf for her later because she'll fit on it, actually.
She actually does. She does look like
doesn't
the
she?
Elf on the shelf's sister.
Too adorable.
She looks
right?
absolutely adorable.
Kev looks adorable, too, though, I must say.
Yes. In his own way, yes.
And it turns out Kevin wants to be a dentist. All right, so here's the thing. Are your feet okay?
Yeah, so actually, I didn't know. You should have told me with these slippers, you're supposed to wear shoes underneath them. I thought the slippers were the shoes. So now I'm wearing my shoes inside the slippers.
Millennial.
That's the real way you're supposed to do it.
Oh, boy.
She's wearing 4-inch heels, though, which I think is kind of weird inside those slippers.
Inside the elf.
It's a very, yeah. She's going to scratch a shelf if she gets on it. I'm going to tell you that right now. All right. The Carnarvon wagon is rolling. We're out on Michigan Avenue. It's the Toys for Tots drive. This is maybe the only time we're ever able to do this on Michigan Avenue. So if you have an opportunity to come by, you want to swing by in your car on Michigan Avenue or on City Front Center by the NBC Tower, you can drop off toys there as well. We got the big boxes out here, and we got the Chevy Silverados from Apple Chevrolet in Tinley Park. And thanks to our friends at Billy Goat Tavern, we've got gift certificates for the world famous cheeseburger. We also have we've got gift certificates for other restaurants. I mean, just a ton of stuff out here to help people sort of get them in the holiday giving spirit because we're doing a trade essentially.
Yeah.
All right. Mm. All right. So in the meantime, while we're doing this, Violetta is going to do actual live traffic on Michigan Avenue. She's going to stand in the traffic and do the traffic.
Oh boy.
It's very form and function.
This week on Chicago's Best, Brittany and Elliot are flipping out and piling it on high. Don't miss an all-new Chicago's Best Burgers Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. Speaking of Best Burgers, how about the cheeseburgers here in the studio?
Oh, does
Pretty
not
delicious,
get any better
huh?
than this. It really doesn't. All right, we have got Bill Sienas is with us. You know, he's the guy behind the Billy Goat now. He's the man behind the goat. And Richard Roper's in the studio with us. We got a top 5-5 coming our way. We also have music from one of our favorite guys, Joel Patterson, will be here.
Oh, cool.
He's a musician that you've heard play on this show a number of times.
Yeah.
And now he's going to be leading. He's got a Christmas album out. He's a guitar virtuoso.
We're singing Merry Christmas again? Is that what you're saying?
We are going.
In Rose America?
Yes.
Cool.
But you don't like Christmas music, bro. Only select Christmas
I like
music.
Select Christmas music. It's got to be like music that would stand the test of time regardless of its... See, I think that so many people cheat. Like, for example, the Chipmunks.
Yes.
Right? If you call anything that is totally obnoxious to listen to and it's a Christmas song, so then you have to play it. If it's a good song and it's a Christmas song, it does the actual proper respect to the holiday that it deserves.
Okay. It just depends on the mood and the memories and stuff of it too, right?
I mean,
certain ones.
Yes.
Even some of the bad ones you sort of enjoy sometimes.
Elvis,
no.
You know, like
you
Elvis
do.
Stuff.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Sure,
really? I had to
every
listen
once
to that.
In a while.
I don't,
not
I don't.
Over and over. Mm-hmm. But once a season, I think, is good.
Well, what about the Vince Guaraldi trio?
This is the only.
Here's the song Rose got to this song
over and over and over again.
I would just play it.
This would be. I would have a radio station to just play this song the whole time. Hang all the mistletoe. I'm gonna get to know you better. See, now, if we could just do this, Donny Hathaway, an all Donny Hathaway Christmas station. There you go.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
Can't argue with that.
Yeah,
I have a theory about why Ro loves that song so much, Anna. I think that a teenage Ro Khan got to like first and a half base, like in somebody's basement. Maybe second base, maybe. Like dancing, you know, the shoes were off, the shag carpeting was happening. John Fritchie was lowering the lights a little bit.
Grant, the county commissioner?
Grant DePorter was there. Who else? You ran around with Jennifer Beals. There was a whole clique that ran around there back in the day. And I just feel like there's a memory attached to that.
There might be. Would you like to share, Ro?
We've got the news coming up in about 2 minutes
right here.
Nailed it.
On the so did I on the 720 WGN. Here it, but before we let him go, because we want to, I got to thank you, Billy, for so much for doing this, because Billy Goat Tavern was so great and gracious to come in and do this today with us on behalf of Toys for Tots and for the United States Marine Corps Reserves and all that. It is awesome. And Billy Goat is one of those institutions that it's iconic. It's culturally significant to Chicago. Mm-hmm. It's the Saturday Night Live exhibit, which is now at the Museum of Broadcast Communications, right? It's got the Billy Goat thing. It's all about, you know, how the Chicago influence on Saturday Night Live, and it really sprung to prominence on the Billy Goat bit.
Oh, yeah. That's very true. Yeah.
Was your family initially in favor of that, or were they offended by that?
No, we were good with it. My dad didn't know anything about it. But, you know, the,
of course not.
The Greek immigrant probably said, what is this?
Some of the, I think it was maybe Royko or maybe Tim Weigel or somebody came in and said, hey, you know, they're making fun of you on TV.
And like, what did he say about
he's
that?
He's like, what do you mean? And he's like, hey, Saturday Night Live, they're saying the cheeseburger, cheeseburger. And then he watched Saturday Night Live for like a month straight to get the next clip. And then he finally saw it, and he was, you know, he was happy about it.
Good for him. A marketing man before his time, probably.
Well, and it was in a time, I think they did that in 1975, 1976, something like that. Mm. It was at a time where you couldn't, like, get a videotape of it. Nobody had a way to play the videotape. Yeah. You want to send Sam Sianis a videotape of something? What was he going to do with it? He's going to look at it. He's going to tie up boxes in the basement with it, right? He's going to take the tape out.
Drop it on the grill and see how it tasted. Maybe sell it for $1.15 next to the ham and cheese, you know? You want an alternative to the burger.
Well, he's the only person I think left that still doesn't have a cell phone, so he wouldn't. He wouldn't
still, right.
But how do you get a hold of him? Because he just called the restaurant.
Yeah, he's always there.
Do you still have a landline at the restaurant? You got it.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
Nothing's really changed.
There's a phone booth there forever. You know, I mean, guys would go up there and make excuses.
Good to know where one phone booth is in the city.
It's really true. I said I was going to be home.
I got breaking news. President Nixon could be here any minute.
I got to stay. I may have to stay at a hotel. All right. Yeah. We want to thank Billy Goat for doing this with us. And again, congratulations on the beer and the burgers now being sold in the cold case.
Terrific.
At Jewel. That's amazing.
Thank you. Yeah. And everybody come and get burgers and bring some toys to the, you know, to the WGN.
Right.
Thank you.
Still, that's Toys for Tots out here. Yeah.
That, exactly. And that's the nice thing, too, because we're giving away the burgers right here. You get a certificate. You go right down the stairs
right
on Michigan Avenue, because there's an upper and lower Michigan Avenue, the original
handy.
Billy Goat. You can actually still smell the ink and desperation in the restaurant from all of the, and I'll tell you, when guys started getting laid off on the newspapers, it's the first place they went, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they still hang
Took
out there.
Took a bitch. Yeah.
Some of them, now they've become marketing guys. That, you know, they become like, you know, PR guys for the city. Mm. Guys were chasing the city for years and years and years and years. And then they get laid off and the city goes, hey, you know what? We'll hire you because you know the secrets.
Went to the other side. Yeah. Why not?
That's how it goes. All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Thank you for being here. Bill. Thank Billy Goat Tavern. All right. We have got Judy's News coming your way in 2 minutes. It's a RoCon show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Congrats to Urban Prep Academy on an amazing fundraiser yesterday. All of us participated playing the poker game and the epic hands we were just talking about that finished off the night for me.
There was a. It was actually me, Anna, and Richard were in a battle at the very end of this round.
Mm-hmm. So fun.
And you know, the one thing I can't stand is when people start discussing their poker hands like they're great sporting moments.
No, but yeah. This never happens. Richard just confirmed that he's played professionally. Practically.
The winning hand by Richard Roper was a royal flush.
I had a straight flush to the king. Sure. Just the second best possible hand in the history you can ever have in hold'em.
And here I am thinking I had the best hand I've ever seen.
You had the ace high flush and Roe had flopped a straight. So it was like in the movies where you go, there's no way there's going to be him. One guy flops straight.
No.
And then you got the ace high flush. And I had the open-ended straight flush drawn. I got the nine of hearts, the one heart card I could have won with on the river, with all kinds of crazy amounts. Because you guys were doing really well. Anna had a ton of chips.
Yeah,
I mean, there were and there were a couple
and
other
we
players
went
who were there with and there with us too. Yeah,
because we were all so short.
There was no way either any of us were going to lose
right,
that. And then
yeah.
We lost it to Richard. So that was the way that went. It was a wonderful event. And again, tens of thousands of dollars
yes.
raised last
Absolutely.
Night for Urban Prep Academy.
Yeah, great turnout and a
yeah.
really, really fun group. Lots of people, you know, buying extra rounds and doing all that fun stuff. And Kev was very excited because they have, I didn't know about this, bro, at the sports, Harry Carey Sports Museum there in the Water Tower place. There's basically a Pac-Man game, but it's all Cubs and sports related and Harry Carey related things. So you're knocking over the goat and the black cat from 69,
yeah.
but it's a Pac-Man type game.
Yeah.
Well, the kid was just glued to that.
Oh, that Kevin. That kid. Yeah.
I think every bar in Wrigleyville should have that arcade game.
It's really cool.
It's awesome. It's like a Harry Carey, as Richard just said, like a caricature of Harry Carey, and it's Pac-Man.
Is eating up all the stuff. It's the coolest thing ever.
There's like a Friday the 13th calendar that you eat. It's awesome. I've never seen anything like it. I don't know if it was specifically made for that.
It was.
It was?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if they like found that somewhere in like a thrift shop. But every bar in Wrigleyville needs one of those bad boys.
Right. Very cool.
From your lips to God's ears.
Right.
All right. Now, I want to say that what we have and right now on Michigan Avenue, stop by. This is the prime time right here. This is the holiday season. All we're missing right now is snowflakes in the air. And if we could just ask Tom Skilling to provide those, that would be great.
I know it. He could do that for us.
We have got the...
Don, I'm actually out here. I don't need no snowflakes right now.
That's Violetta Potter Medic, by the way, Killing Christmas. That's by the way, that's her new book. She's written with Bill O'Reilly. We have the Chevy Silverados filled now. The toys are coming over the top. The Chevy said there's actually a lion and a Chevy Silverado out here.
Yeah, that thing's pretty cool. There's a lot of cool toys. And a lot of people who are coming by and don't have toys, they're going across the street to Walgreens.
Oh,
they're
doing
a buy two, get one free, and then they're walking them over. So it's a fun party out here.
It is great. The Marines are here, and the police have been great. Chicago police, because they keep ticketing the Silverados.
So. Oh no!
There's a couple of boots on them.
Really been
it's
really,
the city.
Right now. There's six tickets per Silverado right now, so we're in good shape.
It's worth it.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
They're just doing their jobs.
Yeah, I know. I know. What are you going to do? I'm like, officer, please. I got three kids at home. Just before. Hey, I can't do
I'm
this.
I'm trying every
officer.
Excuse in the book, and they just won't
They
let
don't
me
listen.
Go.
Right. I know. What a guy can't do. Oh, come on.
Everyone keeps asking where they could get one of those cool, almost life-size elf toys, and that's like, no, that's Violetta.
And the Marines, they're out here. They're killing it. I just asked one of them. I'm like, have you guys been going inside warming up? They're a lot tougher than I am.
Yeah, they're Marines. Yeah,
a little bit.
Wait, Violetta left this part out. I walked into the green room like 5 minutes ago, and she's laying there like, I'm exhausted. It's so hard being an elf. She's got her hat pulled over her eyes. She was taking a little nap.
I have to say, we're going to get to the top five in just a second here. Top five worst celebrity Christmas songs of all time,
fantastic.
By the way. You might stay tuned for that. But I just want to say, this is crazy. I know there's a lot going on in the world, and we did cover that. It's up on the podcast on WGNRadio.com. We had Michael Steele and Mike Monaco explaining what's going to happen here now that Michael Flynn has pleaded guilty.
Mm.
But what to me, one of the crazy, crazy, crazy things that I've seen ever is Violetta actually got into one of the Toys for Tots boxes. You know, these boxes you see like at stores and gas stations and stuff like that. They're the big, big cardboard boxes.
Yeah.
She got into the thing, and then she was popping out of it like she was actually a toy.
Yeah, I was trying to scare people into donating.
And then she actually grabbed the sides of it and was playing. It was hopping in it.
I can move in it. Yeah.
Yeah, and was making the thing bounce around like a Jack in the Box. And I thought, you know, she's just ruined the bottom of this. So the next time when they fill it up with toys and they try to lift it up to go away, the bottom's going to come out.
No, it's not ruined at all. And actually, the beginning of that story is one of the Marines, the very nice lady here, helped me get into that box. We had to lay it down and then pick me up slowly into the box. So without breaking it, obviously, so that we can fill it with toys.
All right.
We're collecting a lot of toys, though, so we're happy.
She asked the Marines if they need to warm up. It's 50 degrees. Do you not have any idea the history of this fine, fine organization? 250 years.
And there's one guy here. I can't get him to crack. He won't smile. Very tough.
Oh, he's smirking now.
Oh, you'll get him.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah.
By the end of the night, he's going to be on top of one of the Silverados throwing toys around.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So guys, anyway, you should stop by and come see this fun show out here.
Yes. Violetta pretending it's like the it's like Windsor Castle or something. And she's trying to get the, you know, it's,
the guards outside.
Right, trying to get the guards to smile. And it's just
the beefeaters.
It's just a Marine who's looking at her going, this isn't that funny. I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Seen this like a million times. I'm not quite sure what to do.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Why don't you do something? Why don't you just thank him for freeing Anbar Province and then move on?
It's a good starter.
All right. Let us. You know what it's time for here? Now we're going to have to just rifle through this, as it is said.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, we will.
Number five.
We're doing either the worst or creepiest of the Christmas songs done by celebrities.
Ooh. Okay. So not on the approved Rokan list of playing usually.
Kathy Lee Gifford.
Oh.
And Regis Philbin.
Filthy sidewalks, dirty sidewalks, dressed in your holiday style. Yeah, in the air there's your feeling of what you call
Regis,
your Christmas.
What are you doing?
Singing Silver Bells.
Reach, you're ruining Silver Bells. It's a beautiful song.
This is the way it should be sung in the city.
Oh, Reach, this is the way it should be sung. Do I have to do everything? City sidewalks, busy sidewalks.
There you go.
I like his version. Mm-hmm.
If I could just quote Howard Epstein, Howard Stern, there's Kathy Lee Epstein singing Christmas songs.
Ah,
all right, here we go. And checking in at
number four,
America's favorite drag queen, RuPaul.
Oh, as a Christmas song?
Talk about real. Yeah. Ho, ho, ho.
Oh, come on.
Of course.
In 1997. Yeah. Oh, God.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Me, I'll be just fine and dandy. Lord, it's like a hard candy Christmas. I'm barely getting through tomorrow, but still I won't let sorrow bring me way down.
Okay, not a terrible song, actually.
No, not really.
Actually, not a terrible song. I just can't get the RuPaul image out of my head when I'm hearing it. That's the issue. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, we'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, here she is. This is a Roe Strong moment of Violetta Powdermedic dressed as an elf on Michigan Avenue.
Yeah.
Doing the traffic.
You know, actually,
it's 50 degrees outside. I can't believe that you're able to bear the elements right now.
I am Roe Strong.
I know. This is really something.
Just so you know, you have a little competition here on the Santa front.
Uh-oh. There's another Santa?
Yeah, I saw a guy right by the Apple store.
Oh.
He's not the real one, but...
There's a guy that looks a lot like Santa out there.
Oh no!
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Steer clear.
Yeah, you know what? We could bad Santa off. We could do that.
You'd be Billy Bob Thornton, mm-hmm. or you'd be.
It's not good. Do you have the traffic? All right. Top 5 continues right here. It's the five creepiest celebrity Christmas songs.
The RuPaul one I thought was quite good.
Yeah.
Kind of fun.
Except it's still RuPaul. I don't know what to do about that. Yeah. I never got over the RuPaul. I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. RuPaul had man hands. All right.
Number three.
There's a reason for that.
Hands. He said hands, people.
There is the Duck Dynasty folks decided that they wanted to do a Christmas album. Duck the Halls.
Oh, boy.
Perfect.
A Robertson Family Christmas.
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
It's bone-chilling cold outside.
This evening has been...
I've been hoping you'd drop in.
So very nice.
Give me your hands. They're just like ice.
Oh, my God. My mother... Really?
Or the acting there, too. Solid.
Strong.
They made hundreds of millions of dollars off the duck call. That's all I know.
Unbelievable.
Good for them.
No.
No?
Now, wait. Now, many fans waited long for the reunion of Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta, but were disappointed with this Christmas album, the This Christmas album, and the title track, I Think You Might Like It.
Here comes my hometown. So good to get my wheels down.
All right, we don't have time to get to Olivia Newton-John. Apparently, neither did her husband. All right,
wow.
Number two.
You can't say that stuff wearing a Santa suit. It just doesn't work, bro. It's supposed to turn into
strange.
Nice and good spirit and humor and sweetness. Mm-mm.
Really, I had to preview all of these people. I had to live through this. How about David Hasselhoff?
Oh, no.
A very Hasselhoff Christmas.
Oh, geez. Feliz
Navidad. Oh, my God.
What?
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad.
Okay. All right.
Is that really David Hasselhoff?
That's David Hasselhoff. Gosh. And a very large auto-tune rig. Mm. Those are the two things that worked, that made that work.
I'm not sure it did work.
But I liked him better when he was reaching for the hamburger.
When Jose Feliciano heard that, he wished he could have traded his blindness for deafness. Please, Jesus. Please, baby Jesus. My hearing.
This is really... I do not believe that we are in the Christmas spirit right now. We're raising toys for Toys for Tots.
That's true.
On Michigan Avenue. And finally, checking in at
number one.
So rapper DMX.
Wow.
Was asked in 2012 to do a Christmas song on a radio show.
Oh boy.
And then dozens of people asked him to record it.
Dozens.
Is this Rudolph? Is this him doing Rudolph? Oh,
no.
Dear. Oh,
okay.
Boy.
You know Dasher the Dancer, Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen. But do you recall, what's that? The most famous reindeer of all. Come on! Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Okay. I think you think we all have to agree.
Wow.
We kept the worst for last right there.
Not everyone should do a Christmas song,
no,
it turns out.
No, DMX just proved it.
The top five at five.
A little bit of Christmas music right here.
Beautiful.
Joel Patterson is with us live in the studio. Joel's been here before.
Mm-hmm.
And Joel is a guitarist extraordinaire. He's got a Christmas album out called Hi-Fi Christmas Guitar. It's on the CD. You can also get it on all the other places, I would imagine one can get it, like on the
sure.
iTunes. Can we get it on the iTunes?
iTunes, yes.
Can we get it on the Amazon?
Yep. I think so. Streaming.
Yes, streaming. There you go.
Beautiful.
See, now that makes you feel pretty good about that.
We needed that.
It's no David Hasselhoff, but...
See, I think the key here is maybe I was missing the music. I was missing the real theme of this because we are out here raising.
Yes.
We're on Michigan Avenue,
mm-hmm.
despite the fact that there's a lot of complaining coming from me for being too hot in this Santa suit and Violetta for being too cold in her elf suit.
Oh, you're too hot?
Yes.
Try working the streets out here collecting toys. Very tough work out there.
I'm back in the studio now. I'll be back out on the street for the last half hour of the program. But this is the... I just want to say that I cannot be more thankful to Chicagoans for coming down. The Marines have already had to bring in... We've raised so many toys. The Marines have already had to bring in their truck to take the toys to clear the first round of toys out of here.
Yeah, wow. they just did that out of the two Silverados here, and man, so cool. Do they work fast. They're throwing toys all over the place, filling up those boxes, hauling them to the truck, and then coming back. I was doing it nicely, trying to put the toys in the box, like Tetris style, trying to find, you know, how to fit the most toys in a box.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, just throw them in. We got to go. We got all the toys. I'm like, oh, okay, I can't do this. It's too stressful. But
thanks to everyone for their generosity.
Yes.
Because we did already accept a lot of toys and more to come.
Exactly.
Hopefully.
And I want to thank the there's a fine men and women in the Chicago Police Department here who are helping us with all of the, you know, get they helped the Marines actually pack up the toys,
which
I thought was really cool.
Yep.
And so but we're still doing it till 7 o'clock. We have about 45 minutes
time.
Left.
Come on by.
So if you're downtown or you're near downtown and you want to stop by and drop off a toy, we're going to be right here, Michigan Avenue, at Pioneer Court, right by the river.
Right next to the Tribune Tower. And if you don't have a present, you forgot to go pick one up. Right across the street, Walgreens is doing buy two gifts, get one free. So you can pick it up, cross back over, and fill up these Silverados another round.
All right. Nice. That is the way to do it. Joel Patterson is our musical guest on Live Music Fridays. And again, this is the Christmas album, Hi-Fi Christmas Guitar. And it's basically mood music, right? A little cocktail music?
Yeah, definitely. It's like 50s and 60s style Christmas cocktail music featuring a lot of guitars. Kind of in the tradition of Les Paul, he would do these records
with a
bunch of guitar parts and guitar and bass on there.
And what I particularly like about it is it looks like a Les Paul record.
Yeah.
Because it's just
the retro.
Yeah. I love the look of the old RCA records, the Mercury records,
that's
all
it.
That. So
that's it. Really
it
cool.
It sounds like it looks.
Form and function, my friend.
Yes.
I think we invented that. All right. We'll play a little something behind us while we have Richard Roper reviewing here, by the way.
All
right.
And Richard Roper's review is brought to you by ComEd. So we've got that going for us, which is very, very, very nice.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So tell us about what's coming out this weekend. Actually, fewer things than we thought.
A little bit of a light weekend before we have about 8 new movies coming out every weekend and from now until the end of the year. So there is a movie coming out that's got a lot of buzz about it called The Disaster Artist. And it's a little bit, when people first hear about it, they're like, wait a minute, James Franco's doing a bad movie on purpose. And that's sort of what it is. And you know, James Franco likes to do all that weird performance art stuff. You know, he'll appear on General Hospital for 3 months just because he thinks it's fun to do, teaches college classes, takes college classes, does weird things on social media. But James Franco's a very talented guy, so he wrote and directed this movie. The Disaster Artist is actually a movie about the making of one of the worst movies of all time, a movie called The Room from 2003. Not Room, the movie that won Academy Awards for Brie Larson, but The Room. So there's this guy named Tommy Wiseau in 2003, somehow got $6 million put together for him to write and star in and direct this movie. It's sort of a weird love triangle, but it has about 10 subplots that he never resolves because he would just shoot a scene and then forget that he had it in the movie. So it's become kind of a cult favorite. It's so bad, one reviewer called it the Citizen Kane of bad movies. So Tommy Wiseau is this really weird dude. At the time, he was at least 40 at the time. He kept telling everybody he was 18, and he spoke in this really weird kind of Eastern European accent, but claimed he was from New Orleans. No one ever knew where he got the money from. So that's who James Franco's playing in the movie. Now, we got a scene here where Dave Franco, James Franco's brother, plays Tommy Wiseau's kind of partner in crime who wants to be in his movie. And here's a scene where the two of them are meeting a girl, and James Franco's Tommy Wiseau is trying to impress her.
Hey.
What was this?
This is Amber, who I was telling you about.
Oh, girlfriend.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, I don't have time for this. I'm very busy right now. I have to change really quickly and go.
Okay. Is everything all right?
Yeah, everything great on my end. You heard of Konstantin Stanislavski?
Of course. Yeah, he's like the greatest acting teacher of all time.
Yeah. And now he taught me acting teacher. He seemed something special to me, you know, maybe, you know, I'll become a big star. So I have first class this evening.
Well, pretty sure Stanislavski's dead.
No, he's not dead. I just speak to him for your information. What, you think I speak to ghost?
No.
Okay, I'll let you know how it is, baby face. Maybe you can join me someday.
Maybe I will.
Long dead at the time.
Wow.
So
complicated character.
So yeah, it's fantastic, and Franco's perfect because he plays the guy. He doesn't make fun of him. He just like plays the guy as the guy. So it's actually a very funny movie, and it's almost a little bit sweet because it's about a guy who has absolutely no talent, is completely delusional, doesn't realize that everybody's on to him, but somehow did, and no one to this day knows how he got the $6 million to make this movie. And he continues to make like bizarre films and still thinks he's like this great artiste, even though everyone's like, you're not. There's a scene in this movie where Judd Apatow, playing Judd Apatow, says to him, you know, it's a one in a million shot to make it in Hollywood, and not in a million years would you ever be the one in a million. You have no talent whatsoever. You'll never make it in a million years. Wow. And Tommy responds, what about after the million years? What about after that? Would I have a chance then?
Well, okay, this is the thing I don't fully understand, is this guy has gotten funding to make all these movies. He's bizarre, untalented, and not only has he been made all those movies, now they're making a biopic about him.
Yeah, well, the first movie was $6 million. The rest of the stuff he's done has been kind of, you know, smaller type of things. But, you know, the weird thing is The Room has now, that movie has become enough of a cult movie that there's a chance it's made its money back because people go to the midnight screenings and they say the lines back to him and they
because
cheer for different
bad?
Characters because it's that bad, very Rocky Horror style. Yeah. So there's something fascinating about the guy, but to this day he still remains kind of an enigma. He claims, like I said, he claims he's from New Orleans and he's from Poland. In this movie he keeps telling everyone he's 17 and he's clearly 40. Yeah, I'm just a kid. I can't drink yet. Like, what are you talking about? So it's kind of like what Tim Burton did with Ed Wood back in the day. He made a very interesting, cool film about a horrible filmmaker. You know, with Johnny Depp and Martin Landau, you know.
Yeah, but Martin Landau played Bela Lugosi, and you know, was like, and we got to learn that Bela Lugosi was a terrible heroin addict at the end of his life.
But I mean, it was about the process behind, you know, Ed Wood is you know, he became a cult favorite too, but those movies right. aren't good. There's nothing
yes,
good.
True.
They're not good films, you know. He's an interesting cat. He was an interesting cat, and it's a better, much better film than this. But The Disaster Artist is 3 stars. I do think, you know, it's for the people that kind of are into the cult of The Room. You definitely should watch that crazy movie first. If not, you might not get how good James Franco is at playing this guy. He sounds and looks just like the guy.
Oh.
And because James Franco's his own little crazy, reportedly stayed in character as Tommy Wiseau during the entire movie.
Oh, no. Talking just like that?
And his brother would be like, come on, man. Let's just go get some lunch. I'm not getting lunch. I'm not your brother. I'm a filmmaker.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God. This is why America hates Hollywood.
Yeah.
But loves it all at the same time. All right. Now, this could create some confusion here.
Yeah.
There's a documentary that has come out this weekend that is about Ben Bradley from the Washington Post.
Right.
And there's a movie coming out next week actually about Ben Bradley.
The Newspaper Man. It's an HBO yes. documentary. And that's exactly right. They're clearly timing this to release before The Post. Steven Spielberg's movie The Post, starring Tom Hanks as Ben Bradley, comes out Christmas Day, I believe, here in Chicago. Meryl Streep is Kay Graham. It's, you know, Oscar kind of level film, obviously. The Newspaper Man is about the real Ben Bradley, who was also played by Jason Robards in All the President's Men, you might
right.
recall. In fact, Jason Robards won the Best Supporting Actor Academy Award for that portrayal. So Ben Bradley, obviously, you know, the very dashing newspaper man, was a Navy guy, worked in the intelligence sector for the government for a while, and then became a journalist, and famously became friends with Jack Kennedy when they were both up-and-comers in the 1950s. So he and his wife at the time and Jack and Jackie would vacation together. And to this day, that's like a big point of contention with a lot of people saying, you know, journalistically, Ben Bradley was too close to John F. Kennedy. And they explore that, but it's of course a lot about too the Pentagon Papers, and then of course Watergate and Ben Bradley's pursuit of the truth. And one of the interesting things they do with this movie is Ben Bradley narrates his own story, even though he died a few years ago, because they use the audiobook of his own autobiography, A Good Life. So it's Ben Bradley's voice talking about different moments in his career. But then there's also all the great archival footage of, you know, 60 Minutes and all other kinds of journalists talking about Ben Bradley.
Wow. Ben Bradley, I saw All the President's Men when I was too young to see it, because I remember it was at the Esquire Theater, and I went and I saw it, and I decided to just go run around the aisles of the theater instead.
Just
rattle like on a Friday night. But I was maybe 10 at the time. But it went down as one of the, now I will watch it and stop and marvel at the immense amount of bravery that it took Ben Bradley and Carl Bernstein and the other guy,
Bob Woodward.
Thank
Woodward.
You. I knew it was somebody. And I was, and I, the politics in the newsroom of being able to get that story told because they were going to take down a president.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. And you know, there's obviously lots of great real world parallels because there's recordings of Richard Nixon saying, "I want to ban the Washington Post from the White House. Mm-hmm. They're not telling the truth. We ought to look into maybe trying them for criminal activities because they're publishing these leaked, you know, pieces of information from within my White House." Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the First Amendment eventually triumphed.
Right. And as it turned out, they were right.
They were right.
Right.
So,
and
stay tuned.
So far, the Washington Post in this year has not been wrong. Right, I'm trying to think. There was one story. It was actually a CNN story that ended up getting pulled back. It wasn't a Washington Post story.
Yeah, well, there was
so of the thousands of stories that have come out, the you know, including Michael Flynn. I mean, the Michael Flynn thing today proves definitively that Michael Flynn was talking to the Russians. And remember how the White House and everybody else would go, well, the Washington Post and CNN and everybody else, New York Times, they're all lying about this, and it's all fake. Well, today it is not. Michael Flynn pleaded guilty to it.
Right.
Right.
Not a fake story.
So there's...
And where it leads next, we don't know.
Right.
We'll have to see.
So this is... It is very timely. When does the actual... you'll review that next week, right? The post? Or
no,
is it
Christmas.
2 weeks away?
December 25th it comes out.
Oh. Very interesting. Katie Graham. It could be an interesting thing because you got Tom Hanks out promoting this wildly, right?
Movie he believes in.
Yeah. All right. We'll come back and Joel Patterson is playing the music for us. A little bit of Christmas music to get us in the mood.
Great.
Along with the Christmas toys out here.
That's right, Violetta Podramatic. We're still on Michigan Avenue raising toys for Toys for Tots. The Marines are still here. The Apple Chevrolet Chevy Silverados are still here. The red, the white. The Marines already came and picked up one gigantic truckload of them. One of those big box trucks came and grabbed all of our toys.
Thanks to everyone who gave, and thanks for your generosity. Remember, it stays with local children, so they need the help.
And Joel Patterson, by the way, his new CD, Hi-Fi Christmas Guitar. And you're hearing some of it right here. It just makes me feel like when I hear the Peanuts Christmas music, it makes me feel better about the world.
Kind of calmer.
Christmas time
is
here.
Very calming.
Violetta.
Flashback to the 80s, Laugh Along with the Goldbergs, starring Chicago's very own Jeff Garland, weeknights at 10:30 and 11 on WGN-TV.
Joel Patterson, his album, Hi-Fi Christmas Guitar, right here. He's live in the studio with us. You'll hear more of Joel on the other side. But first, right before we go to Judy's news, we've got the Chicago-based movie starring Mel Gibson's son.
Oh, we're not talking about that. They should have given you that memo. Sorry.
Forget it.
Sorry about that.
What are Hold we on. Talking about? Get rid of that.
Yep.
Rip that one up.
Yeah. That's been kind of shelved.
Oh.
I don't think my Gmail's getting through to anybody lately. I haven't stood up on dates. I've shown up at the wrong TV station a couple of times. All kinds of.
Oh well, they shelved a movie. Well, that was perfect. I thought we had something really going there.
There is one more movie or no?
No,
no,
no. We're done now. We had three stars.
Surprisingly,
and for the news, the Newspaper Man and the Disaster Artist, and the Newspaper Man, as we mentioned, it's an HBO documentary. I believe it premieres December 4th. But then, of course, you can always get it on all those platforms and watch it any way you want. Ben Bradley, he really did have a fascinating life.
Yes.
I mean, you know, the last half of the 20th century, he was involved in so many huge news stories, either reporting on them or, you know, being a part of them. And then they do, very quickly, I mentioned too, they do talk about some of the, you know, the pitfalls because, of course, he was the editor-in-chief when the Janet Cook story came out. And she was the reporter who made up a story about a 9-year-old heroin addict and got the Pulitzer Prize, and they had to take the prize back because she made up the whole thing.
Well, you see, now that's the point here, though, is that there are examples of that exist, but there are real-world ramifications.
Yes.
For when people like journalists who get paid to do this job at venerable institutions like the Washington Post or the New York Times or the Chicago Tribune or the Chicago Sun-Times, the LA Times, if you do lie, you lose your job.
Yeah, and you know who really broke the story about the Washington Post reporter making all this stuff up? Other Washington Post reporters who talked to former places where she had worked and are saying, this doesn't add up. And they went out and investigated the story. And they, you know, they were the ones who came forward and said, this is not This is not happening. This
Which
not
is
happening.
An interesting thing why this Project Veritas, the people that that are trying, they try to sting the press by giving them made up stories that they're going to
They did it with the Washington Post and presenting a fake Maura victim. Remember who said she had an abortion and gave an interview and it was all made up.
Right. And but they never went with the story. And then they were all mad about the fact that they'd gotten busted, you know, trying to set them up because there are real ethics to this. And they actually couldn't find. They didn't just run with the story because somebody told them the story. Mm-hmm. They couldn't verify it. So just a little something to think about when everybody's
great
screaming.
Work by the Washington Post, in finding that it was a fake. That's fake news, by the way.
Right. All right, all of that coming your way. We're still raising toys for Toys for Tots on Michigan Avenue. If you want to come by, we're going to go on and do the rest of the show out there. But first, we've got Judy Palak with the news 2 minutes away. Hi-Fi Christmas Guitar is the album. It's available where all fine albums are sold, right, Joel? On the internet?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But you, I mean, there are still some vinyl stores. Is this in vinyl and CD?
I didn't get it on vinyl. It takes about 5 months to press vinyl, and I just finished this record about a month ago. So next year I hope
next
to put it
vinyl.
On vinyl, but it's everywhere else. It's available on my joelpatterson.com. That's Joel Patterson with one T.
Okay.
It's the Scottish spelling.
And the...
Yeah, we have to spell everything different.
William Wallace is very grateful for the plug, and Hi-Fi Christmas. It's like that. It's guitar, sort of swanky guitar, jazzy.
Yep, 50s, 60s, jazz, western swing, country, blues, whatever you want to call it, rock and roll.
Oh, that's awesome.
But definitely holiday music.
Yep,
that won't make you too nauseous like the stuff you were playing earlier.
Oh, I think it's thank you. I think it really is. It's that's the stuff that really sells it. Like at a cocktail party. This is a great thing to pop on.
Thank you.
If you're doing a Christmas party or whatever, or hire Joel to just play live, like what we're going to make him do right now for the next half hour as we close out here for the Toys for Tots. And I want to talk to Staff Sergeant Reese from the United States Marine Corps because he's out here with the 224 unit of the Marines, and they were kind enough over the last, I'm trying to remember the year that we started this. This is our 21st year of raising toys for Toys for Tots with this radio program. So, and the 224, which is based on Foster Avenue here in Chicago, is been such great partners for us throughout these many, many, many years. And it all started because... Gunnery Sergeant Arlie Ermey made us do it. That's exactly how it started. It was he was in town doing a show with us, and he said, the only way I'm going to do this is if you do Toys for Tots. And the next thing you know, 21 years later, here we are doing it. And Lee did it with us for the first 15 years of it, and I would just want to thank him for everything he's done for the United States Marine Corps and for this radio show. And our best wishes go out to he and his family as well. All right, so Staff Sergeant, let's just talk a little bit about it. So we raised hundreds upon hundreds of toys here, right?
That's correct.
And this is not a testimony, by the way. You're not in front of Congress. And there has been. I noticed that we cleared out just now because your truck, you had one of these big box trucks come by, and the Chicago Police Department and you guys, and they just. You've got two other Marines with you here, and there's about six police officers, and everybody just threw this stuff into the boxes and threw it in the trucks. Now these trucks are moving throughout the Chicago area, right?
Yes, they're going from here. They're headed over to. We have another event going. I can't remember where it is. You know, but we move all around the city. We're pretty much all day picking up and collecting.
Do you know how many total toys this year that you guys are going to raise for the 224?
I can't say for sure how much we're going to get this year. I know last year was in the 70 to 80,000 range, which is a pretty good turnout. I know our demand is going to be high again this year, so that's going to be around our goal.
So let's talk about where the toys go once they're here. They stay in the Chicago area, right?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, we're not set up to be able to be direct distributors to the children, which is kind of a bummer for us because it would be rewarding to see it. But we work with nonprofit organizations throughout the city, and they come to us with the numbers and we distribute to them. So everything stays local. to the Chicago area.
And you and I've been out to your facility on Foster Avenue, and when this is going on, I mean, you cannot move inside your you have a sort of a deck there that's got a lot of square feet where you guys do drills and things like that. And it's like, as far as the eye can see, there's toys. So, you know, especially when you think about that over the course of 4 weeks, 3 weeks, 70,000 toys coming in, you're able to get them out, and you organize them, right, by sort of classification, boy and girl and age group and stuff like that?
We do. We do obviously gender, and then we do age groups, and we have to separate and sort everything in into those categories so that we can get the right toys to the right kids.
Do you feel as though these last couple of years have been a little bit stronger than the years before? I mean, is it there seem to be more toys being collected?
This is my third year doing it, so I don't know as far as years previous go. I know that the last 2 years the turnout has been phenomenal. The first year I was here, it started out a little slow, and then towards Christmas we got a big rush. So last year we did a good job of getting things.
We've always talked about over the years that we've been doing this, there are certain classifications of toys that you tend to get a little less of than others. And so as people are thinking about donating now in these last couple of weeks before Christmas, should they be boys' toys, girls' toys, age ranges? What are your suggestions?
My suggestion, the hardest ones for us to fill are going to be the 11 to 13-year-old girls. They're hard to shop for. I understand that. I have daughters myself. So they tend to get the least amount of donations. So that would be a big need. And then also toddlers. Not really a difference between boys or girls. We don't get any of the 0 to 2 stuff either. So we end up having to go out and buying a bunch of it.
So the kinds of things, those tactile toys that kids like that can use. And my daughter chewed toys, quite honestly, because she was a biter. So it worked out, perfectly for her. Anything that we gets the same stuff we get the dog, but obviously you can't accept those. All right. Well, I want to thank you guys so much for doing this, Sergeant. Thank you very much, Staff Sergeant Reese from the United States Marine Corps 224, and his other Marines who are with him, and the Chicago Police Department officers who were here as well, and everything that they have done for us, and everything they do for the city, and everything they do down here, because this is not easy duty. It's pretty down here. But some of the street theater that occurred while we were doing this today was really something to behold.
Like Violetta dancing?
No, that was fine.
They had a container. Contain this woman. What is she doing in the box here?
Toys for tots.
Toys for tots.
I'm doing it vendors now, like they do, like, you know, at a Cubs game. Toys for tots. Give us a toy. Give us a tot. Toys for tots.
Now, we also have to thank, there's so many people that we have to thank for making this whole thing work out for us. First of all, we want to thank Apple Chevrolet in Tinley Park, 8585 West 159th Street in Tinley Park, because they and the Alfirovich family and all the entire extended family at Apple Chevrolet in Tinley Park, because they were incredible in terms of, they got us the Silverados, they got us up here these Silverados arrived here at 6:30 this morning. Because we were told that if we got them out any later than 6:30 in the morning, they weren't coming up here. So they have been sitting out here for 12 hours, and they're incredibly cold. I feel bad for the Silverado.
Santa, do you want to race later?
I've got that thing. All right. Now, Brendan Riley, the alderman from this particular aldermanic ward, I want to thank him, because he was also the guy that greenlit this and got us all of the permits and all the things that allowed us to be up here and doing this and raising hundreds upon hundreds of toys, about 400 or 500 toys per truck. And this includes the amount, it's over 1,000 toys when you count what Apple Chevrolet was able to get this year as well at their store location. And then thousands upon thousands of dollars were also dropped off here. And again, we handed them to the most guilty Roman Catholic we could find here, and he's holding on to the money until such time as we hand it back over to the Marines. If you want to make a donation to Toys for Tots, you can go to toysfortots.org, which is a great organization. It's the Toys for Tots Foundation. It's a Marine Corps Reserve. And that's a money where 97% of the money raised there goes to toys, 3% just to logistics. No one takes a salary. This is all voluntary. and there's no, there's, you know, no one's getting rich off of this thing. The logistics are to get the, to rent the trucks and to get the, to buy the boxes from the corrugated box manufacturers. And as Violetta learned, they're very sturdy boxes because she was actually popping out of one because she's fun-sized and capable of doing that. Oh, my God, she's getting back in one now. Can you, would you watch your sister?
I'm trying, but I, you know, you turn around and she's gone and then the police officers are returning her. It's just like a stray dog that keeps running away. Like, Violetta keeps being brought back to the front of Tribune Tower. Like, hi, we found this elf down the street. She was hopping in a box. Does she belong to you guys?
I also, we should also thank, Kevin, could you hold on to that CD for me? By the, that's the CD from Joel Patterson, oh, by the yeah. way. A, take that with you. That's a lovely Christmas gift right there. Now that you're in a bachelor pad, maybe you could pop that on.
Hey, put on for the lady.
I'm
light the tree this weekend. Okay. All right, Joel Patterson.
I mean, oh, you mean like a real lady.
Wow.
Do some hardcore swiping, swipe right all weekend.
Wow, that went sideways.
It's Christmas, for God's sake. We also want to thank Tuscany and Bar Cargo in Chicago, restaurants that gave us gift certificates to give out to people who were handing toys to us in exchange. Also, Superdog, two locations, 6363 North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago and 333 South Milwaukee in Wheeling, as well as Billy Goat Tavern, who did the Carnival Wagon with us. Now they've got the Billy Goat Burgers and they've got the beer now in your jewel store. Look for it in your cold case. And the Walgreens, right here on Michigan Avenue at the beautiful Wrigley Building, because they did a deal with us where they were selling toys. Buy two, get one free. So people would go over there, buy the toys, and then bring them across the street here to Michigan Avenue to do this, which is really, 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 really cool. So we want to thank them and, of course, everybody at the new Tribune Tower for allowing us to do this because, you know, this is the kind of thing that could go very badly very quickly. And it and it did not. And, again, it did not go badly very quickly because we've got Chicago's finest with us at all times. And that has really been a moment because there's been a few people. There have been a few practical jokers out there. There was a guy who was doing a Rokan impersonation in a Santa suit that we had to take care of that guy.
This could be like an Anchorman bit where Ro faces off against this counterpart Santa Claus on the street. Hey, this is our territory around here, buddy.
Far behind the
Get the other side of the river, Santa. Yeah.
All right.
Rose territory.
All right. Violetta, do you have the WGN traffic trouble spots?